Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy. Isn't that how y'all pronounce it? Deuteronomy chapter 31. I know I've asked this question quite a bit. I hope I'm not just irritating you. I want to challenge you to read through your Bible this year. And so I want to check in with you once in a while on how you're doing with that. We have a list out on the little table when you exit the sanctuary. It has a Bible reading schedule. Now, you may get a different one than some of us, but if you got the one that I have, you should be starting the book of Joshua, which is an exciting book, right? There's conflicts and battles and walls falling and victories, and so you ought to really enjoy reading that. Deuteronomy chapter 31, I want to draw your attention to verse number 1, and I want to share with you this message that God is with us. God is with us. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Look at verse number 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, I can no more go out or come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them, that is the nations that they're going to fight, as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And notice again, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, it does cause us to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lives. Lord, we're glad to know this morning that we have a living Savior, that when we call upon the name of the Lord, he hears our prayers, and he has the power to answer those prayers and to work in our life. Lord, we're glad that you're in charge today. And we pray, God, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, you knew exactly who would be sitting in this congregation this morning. You know what our needs are. And Father, only you can meet these needs. And I pray, God, that through the work of your Spirit, that each and every one, you might address the needs of their life, and that they might find themselves coming to Christ, getting closer to Jesus because of the work of your Spirit in their life. Lord, we ask you for your grace this morning. We pray for your mercy and for your help. We pray, God, that we would lift up the name of Jesus and that we would honor you. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to Christ, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. I think if you'll remember, Brother Bob shared with us that the book of Deuteronomy means the second law, or it means to repeat the law. When God gave the law to Moses in Exodus, later on, this generation is about to come to the Jordan again to cross over. And so before they do that, Moses goes back and he restates the law again a second time. He repeats it. Remember in the book of Numbers, where we looked at last Sunday morning, a previous generation was called to cross over the Jordan and go into the promised land. How do y'all remember what they did? Did they go on into victory? No. Brother Cameron said they turned around backwards, didn't they? And I tried to share with you Sunday, I think, three things that probably caused them to turn back. Not to cross over, not to go forward, but to rebel against the Lord. That's exactly what they did. God said, that's your land. I'm going to give it to you. And they said, we're not going in. And one of those things was a discouraging word. Remember the 10 spies came back, 12 were sent, 10 came back. And they gave what kind of report? The Bible says an evil report. They said, it's a land just like God said it was, flowing milk and honey. I mean, look at all the fruit that's there. But there are giants in the land and strong armies and walled cities and great places. And there's no way that we can go in there and win the battle. And it's a land that consumes the inhabitants. Well, if it did, there wouldn't be any inhabitants, right? We just can't do it. And the people We're discouraged by that word. Satan does his best to discourage you all the time. What you must remember as a follower of Christ is that you're to resist his discouraging words and you're to quote the scriptures. This is what God said. You're saying this, but God said this. Amen? God gave this promise. And then secondly, it wasn't just a discouraging word that caused them to turn back, but it was distrust in the leadership. Remember that? They said, Moses, what have you done? Why did you bring us here? And really, who were they distrusting in? The true leader, and that was God, right? That had nothing to do with Moses. Moses was just simply trying to do what God instructed him to do. They really didn't trust God. In Hebrews, God didn't say, well, they didn't trust Moses, and so they turned back. He said, they didn't believe me. They didn't trust me. And because they didn't trust me, they turned back. And then the last point of why they turned back was because they still love this world. They still desired Egypt. Even at this point, Brother Cameron, they said, well, let's go back to Egypt. I mean, this land is great. It's just what God said. But let's go back to bondage and chains and slavery and beatings. And at least we got onions there and leeks. You know? And so they still had a desire for the world. And if you don't go forward in your relationship with God, one of the big problems is because you're still holding too tightly to this world. Amen? Well, now 40 years have passed. The little ones that they said would be consumed if we cross over this Jordan, they would die, our wives would die. These little ones are now at this crossing themselves. And so Moses is encouraging them. He is speaking to them and saying, listen, you can gain the victory. You can win the battles. You can overcome the evil. You can do God's will. You can take the land because God is going to be with you. Remember in Hebrews chapter number 3, their previous generation made this mistake. They come to that crossing. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. Hebrews chapter number 3. Look at verse number 7. God is trying to keep them from making the same mistake. So he gives Moses the words to exhort them. But it's interesting that we even have this in the New Testament. So what are you saying, Brother Tom? I'm saying this isn't just a word for Israel to cross Jordan. If it was, the writer of the New Testament book in Hebrews wouldn't have brought that out and said, now listen, think about this time. Look at this example, and don't make the same mistake they made, right? He'd have just left that back in the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers, and he'd said, that was for that generation. But the writer of Hebrews doesn't do that. And so how many of y'all know where the book of Hebrews is? So if I start out 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, what's after that? Philemon, Hebrews. And then Brother Bruce is memorizing the book of James, so or at least a couple chapters. So in Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. He said, listen, now God is speaking to you the same way that he was dealing with Israel in Numbers 13 and 14. And he says to you and to myself, he says, when God speaks to you, don't you harden your heart. Don't you say, no, I can't do that. No, I won't do that. No, it's too much for me. No, it's impossible. He said, don't provoke the Lord. You remember, how many of y'all remember what happened to those 10 spies that gave the evil report? Did they go on just wander in the wilderness 40 years and then just die off of that generation? No. God smote those 10 spies that gave that discouraging word with a plague, and they died. He says to us, don't make the mistakes that that generation made. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the rebellion, in the day they tempted me in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Listen to verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. How many are reading verse 10 there? I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their what? They err in their what? See, they really had a problem in their heart. They weren't crossing that Jordan because there was unbelief there. There was something wrong in their heart. They could not trust God, or they would not trust God, right? They erred. They went astray. Where? Right in here. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, with all diligence, keep your heart. They erred in their heart, and he said, and they have not known my ways. And then God says, I swear in my wrath, they would not enter into my rest. So again, here's this next generation. They're to cross in. They're facing the same giants. They're facing the same walled cities. They still remember that event, that report. And so what's going to give them the strength to make a right decision here, Brother Lewis? How are they going to make a better decision than their forefathers made? They stop and think about this promise that makes all the difference in the world. Amen? By the way, that's the same promise their forefathers had. Is that true? That their parents had this same promise, but they erred in their heart by not recognizing it, not trusting in it, and not believing God. They turned back. I think it's a great example of why so many Christians don't do well in our day. You know, a lot of us are trying to live the Christian life through our own ability and strength. You know what you get when you live your life and try to fight enemies all by yourself? You know how the Bible lays this out so beautifully for us in the book of Numbers chapter 14. After they said, we're not going to go in, and God destroyed the 10 spies that gave the discouraging report with the plague. They thought, whoa, they must have been wrong. God killed them. They said, okay, then we're going to go on over. We're going to fight the enemies. We're going to obey now. And Moses said, don't you do it. God is not with you now. Would it be helpful if I read that to y'all? You can read it for yourselves in Numbers chapter 14. It said, God's not going to be with you. And they said, we're going to do it anyway. And they went over there and they were defeated. They were slain. And they were discomforted. It means that they turned away and ran. You try to live your Christian life without the help of the Holy Ghost of God, you will never be able to fight the enemies, and you can't win any battles. You'll be just like the Israelites said, okay, we'll go now. And you'll find the enemy crushing you all the time. Amen? So what was their hope? Their hope was in this great promise that God gave to them. And look at chapter 31 and verse 6 again. He says to them, be strong and of good courage. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, the first verse that I think of in the New Testament is in Ephesians chapter number 6. How many of y'all think of that verse? Right before he gives us the armor that we're to put on as believers, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, how many of y'all know what he's going to say next? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you say, well, when he told them to be strong, Brother George, did that mean that he put them into an exercise program and they started flexing their muscles and he put them on a diet and lost some weight? And boy, they got their lungs built up and they're ready to fight now. They're trained, they know how to use their swords and their bows, they're pretty good at that. And so now they're going to be strong because they put the exercise in and now they can do it. No. Yeah. No, they're going to be strong. Why? Because they're trusting in the one who is strong. It wasn't a strength they had. It wasn't what they could do, right? They could be strong and have a good courage. Why? Because of what's going to be said here just a little bit. Because God is with you. I want you to understand that this morning as well. You can be strong and you can be courageous in your Christian life. Why? Because you're just a super duper Christian? Because you just have lived so many years the Christian life, and because you've lived so long, you've learned so much, you finally reached that place where you're just the best Christian in the world? No, it's always the same. It's always true. It's always going to be a need. Your need is Christ. Amen. Your strength is Jesus. Your hope is the Lord. The way forward is through Christ. That's the only way that you're going to advance in the Christian life. Amen? You say, I can be strong, preacher, and have a good courage? Yes, when you're depending on the Lord. You try to live it yourself. You try to do what God said in your own power. Guess what that's going to be? You're going to see weakness, and you're going to be discouraged. How many of you have personally gone through this, by the way? I mean, you put your faith in Christ, you've been saved, and so now you're trying to live the Christian life, and you're doing the best you can, and you just are falling flat on your face, and you're not making any progress, and it seems so hard, and you say, what in the world is wrong with me? I remind you what Paul said in Colossians. He said, as you've received Christ, just the same way that you received him, so walk ye in him. You trusted him by faith. Now live the Christian life by trusting him. Do y'all see that? Can you get a hold of that? That's how you defeat the enemy, by relying on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? So be strong and of good courage. And then he says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. I wonder how many fears that they had just thinking about that. You know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to live? How are we going to win? You know, one of the worst things that you could do is worry about stuff, because most of the time, 90% of what you're worrying about never even happens. They had a lot to be afraid of, right? And then he says specifically of them. Who's the them? All those nations over there with giants and armies that are well trained and large armies. Don't you worry about them. Why? Because I'm with you. It's not that you're better than them. It's not that you're stronger than them. It's not that you have more numbers than them. It doesn't mean that you've been trained better than them. It simply means this. God is with you.
Amen.
And if I could leave any thought in your mind this morning as a follower of Christ, it would be that thought that God is with you as well. You know what? Sad, but we don't walk with that awareness. We don't live with that awareness. I mean, we get up, at best, some of us read the Bible, and we spend some time in prayer, and then we go just do life things, you know, and then we come back, and sometimes people get in the book in the evening and have a word of prayer, but they don't have a sense of this reality that God, just like He was with the nation of Israel and gave them victories, it's the same God that is with us who promises us victories as well. Amen? Why should I fear if Jesus is near? Amen? Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I want you to look at verse number 16. And by the way, this is not just in verse chapter 14. It's mentioned again throughout the New Testament. But look at John 14 and then look at verse 16. I hear some pages turning. I even hear some cell phones clicking. So some of y'all are probably moving pretty good there. All right, John 14, look at verse 16. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send a comforter. And by the way, that comforter is one who comes alongside. Isn't that good? As long as Jesus was with them, Brother Michael, they had power over sickness, over death. They had power over demons. Remember they came back rejoicing one time and said, Lord, this is amazing. You should have seen what we did. I mean, we cast out demon after demon and people were healed. We conquered that whole area. And he says, guys, don't be excited about that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
But be glad that you know God. So he's promising them when he goes to heaven that they're not going to be left as an orphan all by themselves without father or mother, living the Christian life on their own. You know, God doesn't want you to live the Christian life on your own. How many of y'all have really kind of thought about that and embraced the reality of that? He has not left you here to live this Christian life in your own strength or your own wisdom or your own ability. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter, and the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, will come alongside of you and He will help you to live the life that you can't live without Him. Amen. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Isn't that good? We sing a song around here sometimes. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides. Amen? That inside every believer is the Spirit of the living God. Is that true or not? Let me say amen to that. That's absolutely true. The Holy Spirit of God has come to indwell every believer. Praise God for that. Amen? Why? Because we can't live the Christian life without God's help. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. If you read that verse, it's a beautiful verse. It's so important because it warns us about being covetous. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 5. I believe it is. 13 verse number 5. He warns us about being covetous. And then he adds to that warning a remarkable statement. He says, let your conversation, and that means the way you live your life, let your conversations be without covetousness. Why should I live without desiring things and stuff? And that's how I live my life. I want, I need. I have to have this and that. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Are y'all there at that verse? What does it say, the rest of that verse say? Read it out loud with me. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake me. How could I want anything else if I have Jesus? Amen. It's so sad that many of us who have Christ are more interested in what the world can give us than in what Christ can give us. Isn't that sad? When he said, listen, Why would you want the things of this world when you have me? And I am with you, and I will never leave you. Isn't that good? Amen. God is certainly with us. Amen? That means it doesn't matter what you face, God will face it with you. Sometimes you are deceived by the devil and thinking that you are all alone. You have to handle this by yourself. How many times you say, I guess I just have to handle this by myself. How many of you said this? There's nobody that helps me. Right? I mean, you may say things like that from time to time. I wish somebody would come along and help me once in a while. And all the while, you have the greatest help ever. You are never alone. Why? Because God is with you. How can I be strong and good courage and not be afraid and not fear those enemies? Because God is going to fight this battle. He's the one that's going to make the way. He's the one that's going to give the land. He's going to drive out the enemies. All I've got to do is obediently walk with Him. God will accomplish His will in my life. He is with me. Amen? If you leave this morning, I hope that you can be encouraged by just knowing that as God was with the nation of Israel to deliver the Canaan land into their hand, God is also with each of us to help us to live the Christian life. And without Him, it's impossible. Amen? So if you face sin, how do you overcome sin? You grit your teeth. You try harder. You try to learn some stuff. You make these plans. No. You know what? How you overcome sin? You run to Jesus. Amen. And say, Jesus, You're the only one who's always defeated every sin and every temptation. There was no temptation that You didn't rebuff. You never sinned. I need You to be with me and help me to overcome sin. Have you ever wondered as a Christian why you're even tempted to sin anymore? Any of you ever wondered that? I know, and everybody still laughs at me, and I don't mind you laughing. But when I came to Christ and was saved, the thing I wanted was to be freed from sin at that moment. Never to sin again. I didn't want sin anymore. I want to be saved from sin. And I realized not long after that, I still would have to have problems with sin. Why is it still there? And I do think one of the reasons it's still there is to show us our constant need of Christ. If you took all sin away from us once we were saved, that's what we'd do. We would not depend on Jesus to be our victor. Amen. We need to know I can't live the Christian life without God being with me. I can't do anything without God being with me. Amen? There's so many other things here. Sorrow, serving. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what the enemy is on the other side. The way to victory is God is with me. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will help me. God will deliver me. God will save me. I'm thinking about a dear friend of mine. I love him with all of my heart. And he's reaching that age where he doesn't think as clearly as he thinks that he should. I mean, this is a man who's so sharp that if you had a conversation with him and then later on you said, no, I said so-and-so, he would say, no, that's not what you said. You said, and he would repeat word for word what you said. And often I would say to him, yeah, that is what I said. And now he's worried. Because it doesn't come to him as fast. And verses don't come as fast. And so he's facing this uncertain future. You know what I'm thrilled with, though? and gives me great peace. That the same God that has been with him for all this time is going to be with him even in these days as well. Isn't that good news? God is with us. Amen? And notice something else he adds to this. Not just that he is with us, but look again at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6. It's not just that God is present. It would be one thing if God was present and then everything just kept falling apart. Right? Don't worry, I'm here. Yeah, but, you know, Lord, we're getting beat by the enemy. We're driven back on the other side of Jordan. I'm here. I want you to see something. It's not that God just said, okay, I'm aware of you, I'm here. Notice the promise he gives to them, and I think the promise to us as well. When I read this, it touched my heart. He said, I will be with thee, and then he says, he will not, what? Fail thee. Isn't that exciting? He will not fail thee. Remember when David is going against Goliath? This is kind of that. The big battle is Israel going against this army of giants and other. And here, just bring it down to 101. Here's little tiny David going against Goliath the giant. And Goliath comes out with a spear and a sword, and somebody bears a shield, and just a giant of a man. And he's been fighting since he was a young man. He is well trained. He is so trained, he goes out there and says, send out anybody, send out your best. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty braggadocious, isn't it? I mean, send out your best soldier, I'll take him on. If I defeat him, then y'all are conquered. And if y'all defeat me, same thing. You all know the story so well. Little old David goes out there, just a sling, right? And he said, listen, what are you doing? You little old scrawny thing. I want a soldier. I don't want a little old boy. I'm going to cut your head off. You don't have a chance, son. And David says something you and I must get a hold of. And if you don't get a hold of it because of this message, somewhere soon you better grab a hold of this. David said, you're coming out here really with confidence in yourself. You're trusting your strength and your power. But this battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
I'm out here just doing my part, but it's his battle. It's not my battle. When he sends him over on the other side, he said, I will not fail thee. Amen? Why? Because really that battle is the Lord's battle anyway. You should be, if you're reading along with my schedule, you should be in the book of Joshua. Should have started four chapters in Joshua this morning. What's so amazing about this is this. When Israel in Numbers 13 and 14 were going to cross the land, they said, we cannot do it. There are giants over there. They're too big for us. How can we defeat them? Joshua sends two spies over. They go to Rahab's house. And Rahab says, look, everybody on this side is so afraid of y'all. We are shaking in our shoes. We have heard what happened in Egypt. How your God just leveled the Egyptians. And we heard about how that you destroyed those other two kings, the Amorites. And we know your God is going to conquer us as well. We're just afraid. You see, we're looking on one side and saying, man, I just don't know. I don't see how we can do that. And on the other side, they're looking like, oh no, if they ever come here, we're in trouble. God promised, I will not fail you. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, that might be a chapter you would want to go to here as we approach the Resurrection Sunday and be reading through that chapter. But look at chapter 15 and verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory What's the rest of that verse say?
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
How can you fail? How is it possible to fail? It's not a matter of whether you're strong enough. What is the real question? Is God strong enough? I promise you this, if we got a hold of this, it would transform our effort to reach this community with the gospel, our desire to advance in holiness and Christ-likeness, and we would see more of God's work go forward because God cannot fail. And not only did he say that, look at that last phrase as well. He will not fail thee. And what does he say in those last three words? Nor. So I'm going to go on the other side and cross over. I'm going to give you victories. I'll be with you. You're not going to fail. But listen to me. When you get in the heat of the battle, I'm not going to just pull away. You remember David was trying to hide his sin? So he called Uriah home and said, he tried to get him drunk, said, I'm going home. And he wanted him to sleep with his wife so he'd think the child was his when it was actually David's. And Uriah said, I can't do that. How can I go home and be with my wife and all these other men are on the battlefield? So he slept at the king's palace on concrete. And David said, ugh. So he tried to do it again. Still wouldn't go home. Finally said, here, take this letter to Joab. How many of y'all remember what was in that letter? He said, Joab, when you go against that city, I want you to put Uriah at the most fierce point of that battle, where most of the men are dying, the hottest spot. And in the middle of that battle, I want you guys around him, you fellow soldiers, to start backing away and forsake him. And let Uriah fight the battle all alone. Now, when you and I read that, we are outraged by it. You know what we cry? We cry murder. It was wrong, wasn't it? It was murder, wasn't it? Then how dare you? How dare you think God would do that to you? God doesn't do that. What does God do? And I'm telling you, I want you to get a hold of this. For you as an individual, God is with you. God will not fail you. He will not forsake you. It doesn't matter what you face. You say, preacher, I'm facing really tough. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. Well, God will not forsake you. Amen. He's there to help you. And he will help you. Right? Well, how does God work? Remember the book of Daniel? Been a long time since we were in the book of Daniel, right? Daniel, and here's three Hebrew boys. And they will not bend the knee to an idol. And everybody else is bending, and they said, no, we can't do it. We're not going to worship that idol. There's one God, that's not God. And so the king Nebuchadnezzar likes them quite a bit, and he said, guys, look. You won't even have to bow in front of everybody. Just do it here privately. Just quickly. Hit the knee. You know? Hit the knee. And it'll be all right. And they said, King, we can't do that. Privately, publicly, a little bit of knee bend, long knee bend. It's not going to happen. And the king was outraged, furious. He said, how dare you? Heat up that furnace. Throw them in. There they are. Fiery furnace. Hey, what's going on here? We're not dead. Well, who is that? Nebuchadnezzar looks in. He said, didn't we throw three in there? I'm counting four. And the fourth is like to the Son of God. That's how Jesus is. Can you get a hold of that? That's how Jesus is. And listen, that's how Jesus is for you. That's how Jesus is for me. Amen? He said, I'm not going to leave you. I will not forsake you. You get out there in that battle, I'm not going to pull away. I'll fight right alongside of you. Amen? God is with you. God will not fail you. Neither will He forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
Why should I covet things of this world? The writer of Hebrews said, why? When He is with us and He will never, isn't that good? Never forsake us. Amen? Put your faith in Jesus. I don't know if anybody in the service this morning has not received Christ as their Savior. But I would say to this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you never trusted Christ, that's the first thing. Amen? Because God can't be with you. He can't indwell you. He can't help you while you're spitting in the face of His Son. Is that true? You have to bend the knee to Jesus and trust Him as your Savior. Then God will indwell you and God will strengthen you and God will help you. Amen? So if you're lost, please come to Jesus and be saved. But if you're a Christian, please get a hold of this. So many of us are not making any progress in our Christian life is because we're trying to do it ourselves. When you're trying to do it yourself, you're just like Israel saying, we'll fight against them now. And God said, no, I'm not with you. You'll fail. Amen? Even though you're a Christian, if you're trying to live the Christian life and you're ignoring Christ, ignoring the Holy Spirit, He will make sure you fail. Because He wants you to know how much you need Him. Amen? So come to Him this morning. I don't know what the difficulty is. It may be financial. It may be physical. You may be facing some kind of sickness or trouble or problems in your life. I want you to know God's with you. He will not fail you. He will not abandon you. Amen? Trust Him. And you can win the victory. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we